Like before you find your Bible, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes and chapter number 5. Book of Ecclesiastes and chapter number 5. I would like to read just the first verse only tonight. It is the verse of intent, the verse of the content tonight. You just stay where you're at. Well, some of you are standing. Let's go ahead. Chapter number 5, verse number 1. It says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil." Let's pray. Father, tonight I ask you to give of your Spirit in such a way that we understand your Word. I pray, O God, tonight that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would make application in each of our hearts and our lives. I pray that tonight, O God, that you would be glorified as a result, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. After preaching the message this morning and going through invitation, I asked the question. The question was, did God speak to your heart today? During invitation, there was one that had responded, and I would assume that their heart had been spoken to and they felt enough that they needed to do something about it. After asking that question, there were four folks who raised their hands and responded to that question that God had spoken to their heart. There were three that came to me after the service, and they said that God had spoken to them, but they didn't realize that they should raise their hand. Personally, I was devastated. I want to tell you why. After you pour out your heart, and there are but seven folk who respond, or eight, saying, "God spoke to my heart," somewhere through the service, it's devastating. But then I begin to think, and only imagine how God feels when He gave us His Son, and then proceeded to give us of His Holy Spirit, and we go day after day, and we're not moved by God. What's wrong with us, brethren? What's wrong in our lives that God cannot seemingly speak to our hearts? Now, I realize that there may be some that sit here, and you would be like the three that came, and you say, "Well, God did speak to my heart." I realize that might be the case. But far too often, we go into such things and we really walk out the same way we walked in. God used that this morning to speak to my heart. God used that because there was an intended message for the night, and the title of that was, "When Are You Wrong?" And wanted to preach on that particular topic tonight. But He led me to a passage in Ecclesiastes concerning how we go to the house of God. And I began to wonder and to think, what does God want here with this particular passage? Why is it that we often go to the house of God and we leave the same way that we came in? What is there that causes that to take place? I remember a couple of years ago, a lady who was a former member of our church said, "I don't get much out of your preaching. And I need that which is more simple than that which is going to say the same thing over and over again that I might get it." Through the years, the criticisms have come, the criticism has gone. And I understand tonight that this preacher is fallible. One of the big things that concerns my heart is when you give instructions, when you tell things and you think you've given it clearly and sufficiently, so often it isn't. And so often things are not clear in the hearts and the minds of others. And that concerns me very, very deeply. But I've come to be convinced of something, and that is, and I've been convinced for some time, that God's people leave the house of God the way they came to the house of God because they did not come with the right and proper spirit. We did not come expecting God to do anything. We did not come with that which would be, could we say, faith in our hearts, believing God had something for us. When Paul wrote to Timothy, under inspiration, I might add, he described to him how we ought to behave in the house of God. In chapter 3 of that great book, the first one to Timothy, in chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "But if I tarry long," he says, I'm writing this, "if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." One of the beautiful things that you and I have is the truth of the Word of God. You and I, as we come to the house of God, as we meet as a church, we have this beautiful Word that we call the Bible upon which we can rest. It is our authority. Immediately following that chapter, only two verses away, we come to chapter 4 and we find there explained to you and to me in 1 Timothy 4 of the last days and how the seductive behavior of Satan is seeking to influence and infiltrate into the hearts and the minds of God's people. And then he says to Timothy, he says, here's how to combat that. Chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7, he says, "If thou puttest the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." And then he says, "But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Here we find that Paul, in writing to Timothy, is simply saying to him, what we need is words of faith and words of good doctrine. It is that which is going to do its work in the hearts and lives of people. However, I believe there's something that is also necessary. You can preach and preach, but if it's not heard, it has no value. If you preach or teach and it's not listened to, then what has it accomplished? For both must be of necessity present in any given situation. Tonight we're going to look at the words of Solomon. We're not going to take a great deal of time, but I hope that we can learn how to come to the house of God and how to respond when we are here. I believe it was 2 years ago, we were sitting around at camp and it had been a wonderful week, and I don't remember what night it was, or might have been Thursday or Friday even during the day. But we were setting, and one of the comments was made was, boy, folks have been really responding to the messages. And that was a true statement. And somebody said, why doesn't it happen like that? Why do we not respond when we get home? And then it came to the conclusion, hey, you know what we need to do when we get home? We need to respond when God speaks to our hearts. It happened for a couple of weeks, and then it began to kind of filter out and be displaced after a period of time. We get into a rut. And we get ourselves in a situation whereby we come to church to fulfill our responsibility. We listen to the preacher and say, wasn't that good? We walk out and it has not affected us one bit. Something's wrong. I believe what's wrong is how we are coming into the situation. There are two directives that are given in verse number 1 here. First of all, he says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Keep thy foot. Interesting. Keep means to guard. It ought to affect our walk with God. You see, the words that are spoken are not just that which is to teach us about something. It's not just to give us a Bible story. It's not just to give us Bible knowledge, but it is to affect the way we live. There must be application. No matter how much application can be made in the pulpit, there must be application made by the hearer into their own heart and their own life. For all too often in our pride, in our arrogance, we believe that this message is really good for that guy across the aisle. We think, boy, that guy back there, I hope he is listening. When in fact, God wants each of us to make application in our own lives. We're not here just to soothe our conscience with a sacrifice, which God calls a sacrifice of fools in this particular text. Not to sacrifice just an hour. We are here for a purpose. And that purpose is to get something from God. Do you really believe when you walk into a service, no matter who's preaching, no matter what's going on, that God has something for you? We ought to have that attitude. We ought to be coming to church expecting God to give us something. And quite frankly, when I say look to your left and look to your right, there ought to be a blessing. There ought to be a blessing there. It ought to be a blessing that we can see our brethren. It ought to be a blessing that we can pray together, we can talk together, that we can have fellowship one with another. It ought to be a blessing to us that we have the wonderful privilege to have in our hands the Word of God. You see, there's something true about this book right here. It says, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Now, you go back to the book of Romans chapter 10. That's verse number 17. Go back a few verses and you find the context there is of the preaching of the Word of God. How is somebody going to call upon the name of the Lord if somebody hasn't told them about Jesus? That's the basis of those verses. And we find that through that, I don't know about you, but when I first got saved in 1966, the next 3 years, I began in 1967 in Bible college in Pontiac, Michigan. The faith that began to be built in my life was not from classes in Bible college. The faith that began to be built in my life came from the preaching of the Word of God. It came in chapels when chapel was hot. You say, what do you mean by hot? I mean the preaching was hot. It was that which got down under our skin and irritated the fire out of us because we'd be doing wrong. It was that which challenged us. And the preaching in church, it was the same thing. The same thing we seek to do week after week here. It was those things from the preaching that began to build in my life in a faith. As I heard the Word of God explained, and then I had, boom, brought across my backside, now get out there and do it, son. You see, preaching is teaching, and in this case, with a number 13 in the rear end. Now let's get at it. Amen? That's the difference. And so, it is through that Word, He says, keep thy foot. And one of the problems is we come into church and we believe we're so perfect. And we're like what it says in verse number 1, for they consider not that they do evil. We've already arrived. And we need to come with a humble, teachable attitude. How important it is. We need to come expecting God to do something. I've said this, haven't said it for quite some time. I believe the problem with Sunday morning is Saturday night. Do you hear me? I believe the problem with Sunday morning is what you're doing on Saturday night. The problem on Sunday morning is we get up and we come to church and we're so filled with Saturday night and the partying atmosphere that we run ourselves through that often we come to church and the world has had such an influence, we're not prepared at all spiritually. By the way, it's one reason we began to have prayer meetings on Saturday night. To help folks prepare for Sunday morning. I'm going to tell you a dirty little secret. Most of the folks that walk down this aisle to get things right with God were here Saturday night. Most. Not just some, most. Why is that? Because there was preparation begun in their heart and their life as they gathered together for prayer. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. There must be in your life and mine a realization that God has something for us, and God wants to speak to our hearts, and God wants to make a practical application in our lives. Notice secondly, he says, and be more ready to hear. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Again, what do we know from Romans? Faith comes as a result of hearing the Word of God. Hearing is more than realizing there is sound. It is listening and seeking to understand with all diligence. One of the things I often hear folks pray and ask God to take away distractions. And that's a legitimate prayer, and I'm not going to criticize that one bit, and that's a good thing to ask God to do. But I'm going to tell you this, when we are concentrating so heavily upon what God is doing and speaking in our hearts about, it's interesting that we don't even know there's distractions going on. There are times, honestly, that I am so tied up in preaching the message, I have no idea what's going on out here. Now, if you all left, I might figure it out. But it is that kind of attention that needs to be given to the Word of God. Seeking to understand with all diligence. Those who are really concentrating on a message are seldom distracted. They so often don't even know a distraction occurred. Do you know that God has something in every service just for you? God has something. It might be the song. I see people during the music time and they just sit and don't even sing. Drives me nuts, Wendy. You're sitting there, boom, 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 boom. He's up here, woo, 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 woo. And I'm singing. And I look out at some of you. Blessed be the Lord. Oh my goodness. No wonder folks don't get excited with music the way some people sing or don't. So I don't have a very good voice. Join the crowd. Yeah, join the crowd. Not everybody here does. Just join the crowd. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Well, the guy next to you, if you're really loud, bring earplugs for him. I mean, sing as unto the Lord. Amen. God has something there. It might not be the message. It might be the music. I've known people to walk down an aisle and get saved because of a special that was sung in a church service. Honest to goodness. I've told you this 100 times, but I know a fellow that got saved because I was listening and I said amen several times through the service. When I dealt with him at the altar later, I said, what brought you down the aisle? He said, you did. I said, I did not. He said, you were so intent upon what he was saying, I thought I ought to listen. I've often thought, what if I had sat there like I had on many occasions? Where would that guy be? Be ready to hear. We must come with a teachable, can I use the word humble, spirit. James, he said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We must come with a desire to change our behavior into conformity with our Lord Jesus Christ. James again said in chapter 1, verse 23, If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. the reason that church does not have the impact in many lives as it ought to have. And the reason, quite honestly, that we could honestly say, God did not speak to my heart today, is because we did not let Him. We did not have a teachable attitude. We did not want that in our lives that needed to be in our lives. We were not hearers of the Word. And it wasn't too long that what we did hear, we forgot it because we did not allow it to change our lives. Again, if this teachable desire to conform to Christ be not present, we are giving the sacrifice of fools. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house or to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not what or that they do evil. How do you go to church? How do you prepare to come to church? Have you asked God to open your heart? Have you asked God to do a work through the people and through that that might be a blessing to you? Have you asked God to make you a blessing to somebody? You see, God wants to use you in church too. Has God spoken to your heart? You might tonight say, yeah, He beat me all up. That's speaking to our heart. You might say, boy, God really blessed me today. I got this out of that. For 3 solid years after I was saved, I heard a message on Sunday morning, a message on Sunday night. I heard a message on Monday. I heard a message on Tuesday. I heard a message on Wednesday. I heard a message on Thursday. Anybody counting? Because I'm lost count. I heard a message on Friday. How many did I have there? All right, 8. I'm not done. That was a normal week. But I never had any normal weeks. These were live messages I was involved with because I was in Bible college and that was our chapel times, that was our church times. But I happened to sit under preachers who didn't know how to teach a class. They just preached at us the whole time. I just one guy we called Dr. Noy. He had a doctor's degree. He was not a doctor that had a telescope, a stethoscope. It was a DD, a Doctor of Divinity. And Dr. Noy, very learned man, but a man who was very compassionate. He was the Chester of our school. I don't know if he had a wooden leg or just a stiff knee. 3 hours in a row. He pastored a church down in central part of, actually the west side of Detroit, a city called Livonia. 3 hours I'd hear him. He would teach, then he'd take a little time out and preach. Heard message after message after message. I never walked out of a class, never walked out of a chapel time, never walked out of a church service that I ever walked into when I didn't let God or want God to speak to my heart. It did not happen. Every time. It is still true today. Still true today. God even speaks to my heart when I preach. God most of the time speaks to my heart as I'm preparing. But sometimes God brings some thoughts to my heart that just absolutely, boy, does He bless. Speaks to this heart. You know, it all boils down to this. Do we come to church really to get from God? Or do we come just to fulfill some kind of obligation and make the sacrifice of fools? Only you can answer that question. Only you can. Oh, how we need to be seeking after God and allowing Him to speak to our hearts. Amen. How we need that. How we need not only that, but then to respond to Him. To respond to Him. And if God jabs you in the side and you know I ought to walk down an aisle, then I ought to walk down an aisle. If God speaks to your heart and you know you need to just bow your head right then at that moment, maybe not even bow your head, and just ask God to do something in your life, then you ought to do that. If God speaks to your heart and says, boy, I need to go see such and such brother or sister. I need to apologize to them. I need to ask their forgiveness in my life. Then you ought to do that. We need to be responsive to the Lord. Amen? And so often we just, well, somebody will see me. Somebody will think evil of me. And our pride's destroying us. First of all, we all need change. Amen? Would you agree to that? Would you agree tonight that all of us have tremendous problems? There isn't one of us here that have arrived. You wouldn't believe the number of problems I have. If I told you all my problems, you'd probably fire me. You say, he is one basket case. Aren't you glad for a Savior who can grab a basket and hold on to it? I know where the answer is. And I need Him. And I need every day to gain from Him. I need not only in a personal matter, but I need it also in a church effort. When I come to church, I'm the guy delivering the message to 100, 200 people. You may not know this, but many of you preach to me in such subtle, wonderful ways. Sometimes it's encouraging. Sometimes it cuts my heart because it needs it. But praise the Lord. Because if God does a work in my life, then amen. It's wonderful. Amen. Serious. How do you come to church? Keep thy foot. Guard it. Guard its path. Make sure it's seeking to walk. In other words, application with what is heard from the ear. And then learn to listen. I am amazed at the things I hear I have said. I'm amazed. We need to learn to listen and let God speak to us. Amen? Oh, He wants to do that. Lord, tonight, work in our hearts. Lord, these are tough things. They're right where we live at. Lord, it's harsh to our soul because we're all so guilty. Oh, God. You give us great opportunity. We get to meet so often. We have brethren around the world that have to walk several miles just for their meetings. Can only do it once a week. Sometimes not that. Oh God, I pray that when we gather, we might come with anticipation. We might come with expectation that You will speak to our hearts. Lord, it's not who's preaching. It's who we're listening to. Are we listening to Your voice? Oh God, I pray that You would just work in our hearts tonight. Help us do that inner inspection. And oh God, that we might come to church allowing you to do a job that only you can do. Change us, oh God. We need that. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at tonight.